Welcome aboard this week's podcast of Dudes Dish Disney. Get ready for amazing attractions across America. Beer halls and bar rooms, banquets and beverages, a collection of characters and colleagues.
No cupcakes.
It's Dudes Dishing Disney. This episode of Dudes Dish Disney is sponsored by Magic Vacations. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel. And now your host, the dudes of Dudes Dish Disney.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Joining us today is our producer and resident tech dude, Jonathan.
What's going on, guys?
Also joining us is our co-host, Ryan. He is the number one Disney dude.
What's up, dudes?
And I'm Congo Carl, former Jungle Cruise skipper. You know the rest. What's up, dudes?
What's going on?
Oh, man. So this week, we are going to continue a previous episode that we just had so much going on, we didn't have time to finish. And it's kind of like drinking around the world. Sometimes you don't have time to finish. Actually, we always... we always find time to finish that 11th or 12th or 13th country.
We are definitely not the types to not finish.
But on the podcast, we had so many great ideas and thoughts we weren't able to finish. So we're continuing right here with another episode of the Imagineering Drawing Board. What countries would you add to Epcot? So to recap from our last episode one of this podcast, I believe we added Brazil, India, Switzerland, Greece, and a dabbling of every country from the British Isles, extending the UK pavilion from the bridge in France all the way back to Canada. I think we added Scotland, Wales, Ireland, everybody.
We are just extending the UK pavilion around the entire World Showcase Lagoon. Everything is just going to be the UK pavilion at this point. Carl, when you said let's recap, for some reason all I could think about was Wayne's World dream sequence. You know, like, John, you should edit that in.
Note to self in editing.
Random thoughts from Ryan today.
Oh, yes. So, yes, the last thing I remember was a bunch of pubs in the UK and a lot of bagpipe music, I think, is where we left off.
Yes.
And so now we're going to take a stab at adding some more countries. So, Jonathan, you did such a great job kicking us off in the first incantation of this podcast. Why don't you do it again and give us a country?
So what I'm going to throw out here, it's kind of a it's a group of countries, and I'm surprised we didn't think of this last time. And this is our friends down in the Caribbean, kind of a collective group of countries, because again, they're all so small, they all share such great culture and food and drink and everything. Why not create a Caribbean area? Especially, I mean, just the drinks, the rum drinks alone would get the party going. And I mean, that's good times right there. But then all the food options, especially Caribbean, I mean, come on, man. Get the beautiful, beautiful seafood down there. That'd be a great stop, great little break. Get a nice plate of whatever you want.
Jamaican jerk barbecue, baby.
Oh, man. That would just be amazing. That would be so delicious. But yeah, that's the real one. And here's the thing. You really don't truly need to add an attraction here, because the attraction alone is the food and drink. You could get really creative if you really wanted to. When I was doing some research on this, kind of looking into this, an idea that kind of came through in some of the research that I thought would be funny is... a little Cool Runnings throwback here, Ryan, I can see the look on your face, what you're thinking. A little Jamaican bobsled team ride here.
Sanka, you dead? Yeah, man.
But that would be kind of the only thing that I could think of being kind of creative here, kind of making sense. But ideally, you really don't need an attraction here because the food and drink speaks for itself. But I think this would be a great addition anywhere, really, in the pavilion area. I mean, this would be awesome. This was to draw a great crowd. This would be super popular, I feel, in the long run. So
I think it'd be super fun. You could make it very bright and colorful, right? You can, obviously, we've got this over at Caribbean Beach where you've got some of this stuff already, but you can bring in Sebastian, a meet and greet with Sebastian over there, which would be super cool. I'm also thinking about the fact that, like, where this is placed could be quite interesting, because if you put it towards the end of your drinking escapade and everybody's hammered walking around as people are playing the steel drums, I just think that would be a party, man. That would be so much fun.
So start off with the bagpipes and then make your way over to the steel drums.
Yeah, you got to start with the bagpipes, because if I'm drunk and somebody plays Amazing Grace on the bagpipes, I'm going to cry. So you got to start with the bagpipes for sure. And then work your way around in steel drums and in a positive spirit. If you've ever been to Jamaica, if you've ever been to the Caribbean, right, like, people are so happy all the time. Right? It's just so happy. There's no way but to end the day in a good mood. I would even skip it if it was in the middle of the park and go back to it at the end just to make sure I'm happy at the end of the night.
I don't know how happy they are in Cuba and Haiti, but yeah, I'll agree with all the other islands are pretty happy.
Well, none of us do. We don't go to Cuba. We're not allowed to go to Cuba. Haiti, there's a lot of murders going on in Haiti, so we'll stay away from Haiti. Maybe we'll
the Dominican Republic on the other side, it's fine, right? And the Caymans, yeah. And the Virgin Islands, and I'm sure you guys have been on cruises and stopped everywhere, but I've physically gone to Aruba and Bonaire and Turks and Caicos, and it's St. Kitts and Puerto Rico. I mean, it's all good, right? It's those are all destinations unto themselves, and there's plenty to do. And yeah, you certainly could. I think, you know, the overarching theme could be, again, like Brazil, it could be Carnival, right? Because they have all of those wonderful jump up sessions, and so you could have some, you know, unbelievable dance and music shows out there, and a lot of fun with the drinks and food. It's kind of mashing a bunch of cultures together in some aspects, but you know, I think from a parochial sense, it is a destination because so many cruises go and hit multiple islands, so it starts to feel like, you know, one place to go. So it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there'd be a vibe. There would be definitely a vibe over there every day if this actually came true. So,
well, excellent, John. I'm going to jump in. So, you know, it's always bothered me that the African outpost has been where it is and what's going on with it. And originally it was going to be Equatorial Africa. If you ever saw the opening celebration at Epcot with Danny Kaye that was broadcast in 1982, he even interviewed and talked to Equatorial Africa and what that is. So it's there, never happened. And I think with Animal Kingdom coming into play, that did such a cultural justice to so many different parts of Africa. That's one of the reasons it kind of didn't come back to World Showcase. But if I had to put one country on it from the Dark Continent, I would go with Tanzania. And the reason I would pick Tanzania is you have to understand that one of the most beautiful and storied mountains in the world is Mount Kilimanjaro. If you're a Hemingway fan like I am and have read this stuff about it, it's also home of Serengeti National Park, right? And so that is the largest African reserve. The great migration goes through there with the wildebeest and everything. That's where everyone goes on those great safaris. So you could definitely do some wild things there, no pun intended. And definitely, again, you could pull in that IP of the Lion King. Why not? And certainly have that going on. And I think you could do it in a way that would set itself apart from what's going on in Animal Kingdom. So it could be a different experience. Not that you would bring real animals in there, but I think you could do some wonderful things like with a Circle Vision 360 of, being in that herd of wildebeests or, on those game drives and the beautiful waterfalls and everything that's there. And Tanzania has a little different things in their culture than some of the other African countries is that they do cater to so many people traveling there for ecotourism and safaris that they do have some great choices. There is a lot of good local breweries. And so you could serve Kilimanjaro, Serengeti, or Safari Lagers, which is the classic beers to drink after a hard day out on the safari drive. And then their national liquor is Khanyege, and you could have a Khanyege and Stony Tangwizizi. What, may you ask, is a Khanyege and Stony Tangwizizi? Well, it would be very close to a gin and ginger ale, if I were to Americanize that. But it's two substances that are made there to be authentic. It's kind of their national liqueur. And then their street food is crazy. And the national dish is ugali. And ugali is very delicious. It's a vegetarian-based sort of porridge-based food. That you could eat with your hands to be authentic or with a fork. Now, here's where it gets crazy is I don't know if you could do the traditional meats with that, which is either grilled antelope, wildebeest, or water buffalo. What do you think, dudes?
I'm still trying to figure out how you pronounce those words you pronounced earlier. Can you give us one more of those, Carl?
I could do a little Swahili toward you if my
I mean, listen, I'm a man from Chicago who eats a lot of grilled meats, Carl. So to
sure.
answer your question, I'd probably try pretty much anything grilled at this point. When I had my first foray into venison, even I was nervous and I was like, not bad. So after that, I was like, I'll probably try anything. Alligator, sure. Why not? Throw it at me. Whatever you want.
Yeah, so I think it'd be a lot of fun here. Again, you could do all kinds of cultural things. I could see an attraction there that would be, probably movie based. That was one of their original concepts for Equatorial Africa, but Serengeti National Park is such a beautiful place that, and like I said, Kilimanjaro rising in the distance, it would just be a photographic opportunity to kind of use the art forms of either National Geographic or Disney, the way they take classic, film footage of that to really do a tremendous experience in one of their many formats. So that would be one of my additions, on safari and then a few loggers. Ryan, I think it's your turn to pick a country.
Yeah, I've got one that's I think often overlooked, but shouldn't be. In the world, it ranks very highly in terms of countries overall, in terms of culture, in terms of sport, in terms of a lot of aspects actually. But I would like to see some Australia go into the World Showcase. It's a little far away from us, and for that reason alone, I think it deserves a place, right? Because one of the things, sure, we like to drink around the world and we like to eat around the world, but one of the big things about the World Showcase is showcasing culture. And that's a culture that a lot of Americans do not get to experience because it's very difficult to get to Australia for us. So I think that would be super cool. I think it would be really fun to have, really cool architecture like the Symphony, Sydney Symphony Opera House. I think would be really kind of cool to have some sort of replica of that. I also think it would be really fun to bring in some of the zoo life and the culture life from that, kangaroos and koalas and have some eucalyptus plants out there, right? There's a lot of things that we don't see in day-to-day life, I think that could bring about. Unfortunately, I don't think we can bring over Crocodile Dundee because that's not a Disney picture, although it was distributed by 20th Century Fox, which Disney now owns, so maybe. I'm not sure how that works out. But could be food in Australia is very heavily European influenced, so I don't think we're going to get anything too interesting. I mean, everybody likes the shrimp on the Barbie, right? But other than that, like they're one of their main cultural dishes is a meat pie, but it's very very much like a British meat pie. But the drinks are where we're at, right? The drinks is where this crew likes to hang out, and Australia is actually very well known for exporting wine. Especially to cooler areas in the southern part of the world, so that's a place they could definitely look at something they could bring in.
So Ryan, let me ask you: are you thinking about a restaurant, a bar? What goes in Australia for beverages?
I think the best thing that we can probably do here is put in a bar. The food is just not anything special to write home about. There's maybe some traditional like holiday dishes that you can do here, some meringues and some things like that. That would be fun during winter time. But I think definitely when we come to the drinks, this is where we hit home with Australia. Wine is definitely the big thing, right? That's a big export for them. It's a great thing that they can export that the southern half of the world enjoys. But obviously, we also all know the most famous beer commercials of all time is for Foster's, right? So you can bring in a beer that's widely known that's an Australian beer. But there are a bunch of breweries in Australia as well. It's very popular for their breweries. And if you think about it, it makes sense, right? Like they pretty much have to be self-sufficient in Australia. So, you know, there were a lot of influences there were a lot of Cantonese influences there, but there was mostly European influences there. So you get a weird mix, an eclectic mix of things that they can do. And I think it would just make for a really good time and drinking around the world.
And we could put a little show in there in honor of Australia, right? So you could have the bar with a bartender and a koala walks into the bar. He says to the bartender, "Give me some bamboo." The bartender gives him a hunk of bamboo and he starts gnawing on it. Then the koala whips out a pistol, shoots it in the air, and runs out of the bar. And everyone could be shocked. And the bartender can get out a dictionary and see the definition of a koala bear. Eats bamboo, shoots, and leaves.
Oh, God.
Ugh.
I feel like I need to go shoot.
Folks, why do we keep him with these puns? Why?
Why? But anyway, cricket is really important here, so there could be a fun cricket area. That's not something that we're super accustomed to in the United States. A lot of sporting is really popular in Australia too, and that's not something we really get into normally in the World Showcase, but I don't see why not, right? Sport is just as important of a cultural piece of every country as anything else, and Australia is definitely rich in sport, whether it be croquet or sailing, obviously, is a big one.
Surfing
is definitely a big one too, and tennis is big there too. So you could have a lot of fun. It could be a really fun dude pavilion, right? Because of that kind of stuff, and that to me would be amazing.
You know, I've always been an advocate of thinking about adding Australia as a land in Animal Kingdom, but you've made a great argument for putting it right in the World Showcase. And I think that would be a lot of fun. Definitely a place to hang out. And, I could definitely see the three of us stepping up to the bar there and having a good time. So we just added three new countries. John, do you want to take a stab at another one?
Yeah, this one I've been thinking about off and on with what's going on and everything in the world. This one could be an interesting one, but I was thinking Russia. Just based on the cultural influence that Russia's brought to the world. I mean, come on now. We all know Russian's vodka. That's very common. But I mean, the other food that's very common there is you've got those beef stroganoff. You've got the borscht, pierogies. I mean, all that fun stuff. I mean, it's
Nobody wants to eat borscht. Nobody wants to eat borscht in Epcot. If you're drinking
no
all
one
day
does.
and
I
then
could
you have
see
a big
Carl
bowl
eating
of
it though.
borscht, if you're drinking all day and then you have a big bowl of borscht, you're going to have a bad evening.
Oh, you'll have a bad evening no matter what when you leave Russia, but
That's fair. That's fair.
yeah. But I mean, let's be honest. I mean, how beautiful would it be to see the sights with the cathedral? I mean, just the domes and all the architecture that is Russia. I mean, that would be a very cool, beautiful pavilion. I mean, you could get the Russian nesting dolls as a little store there. I mean, people go nuts for the Fabergé eggs. I mean, it fits. It definitely fits into the World Showcase as well. So.
Yeah, well, certainly there's a lot of challenges to get sponsorships and everything involved in there. There was a great plan on the books, right, to put Russia in with two or three attractions and a stage show. There was a dark ride that was going to be based on, I think, was it Peter and the Wolf? Was the old original Disney movie that was made way back in like the 40s or 50s. Yeah, there was a big plan to do it, and unfortunately it didn't come together. But I think you're right. It's again, like Ryan says, you pick these places that are tough to go to, and not common for people to do a vacation to and add them. And it does open up everyone's minds to understanding different peoples and different cultures. And that's really was the spirit of World Showcase, is that people would creatively solve problems together, come up with solutions and bury their differences and get along and make the world a better place. So who knows? That might be the start of some great things. And you're right. I mean, if you go to a my wife has been to Russia, and if you go to a picnic or a party there, they put a bottle in front of each person of vodka, and that's yours to drink for the night. And then there's another bottle in the middle, and once everyone finishes theirs, everyone shares a drink out of the one in the middle. So you could get some great traditions at Epcot with a Russian pavilion.
So I'm not sure that a lot of people know this about me, but everybody, we talk about how Irish I am, but the other part of my lineage is actually Russian. So I'm 86% Irish and 14% Russia. My great
A
great
lethal
grandfather.
combination.
It's pretty lethal. It's not just the drinking either. Trust me, I got the attitudes from both. But my great great grandfather came over from Russia, so I think it would be super cool to see Russia there. The architecture in Russia is beautiful, especially in the main, more rich areas, of Russia. But the food leaves something not to be desired, right? I'm not a huge fan of Russian food. But yeah, I mean, you can do anything with vodka, right? So you can do a lot with vodka, have a lot of fun with vodka. And I guarantee you, if they brought back the worker exchange program, and they have Russians there working that pavilion, it could be a good time or it could be a bad time, but I wouldn't mess with them. That's all I'm going to tell you. I wouldn't mess with them. Where I live actually is a very large Russian population outside of Chicago. So I dated a Russian girl whose parents were from Russia. For 5 years, I've got a pretty good idea of Russian culture. It can be a lot of fun if done the right way. It can be a lot of fun if done the right way, for sure. It can also be very dangerous if done the wrong way. So, but I like it. That's what makes it fun. That's the spice of life in Epcot.
Yeah, all good stuff. So, Ryan, if you got another one, feel free. Otherwise, I'll jump in.
Yeah, I think this one would kind of be like a mini pavilion, right? I don't know that you're going to do a full big pavilion, but it's a pavilion. It's a country that I would be remiss if I didn't bring up here. I've got some friends from here that have introduced me to the culture, and I've been there on cruise ships and stuff. But I would say Belize is somewhere that I think would fit really well as kind of a mini pavilion. I'm trying to think a little bit outside of the box, but the one thing I know about Belize is much like the Caribbean and much like some other places that we've talked about, there's a very fun atmosphere that can be had here. really upbeat music style, really colorful culture. You know, again, it's English influenced these days as well. The food here can be, you know, like rice and bean type place with chickens and beefs and stuff like that. But where I go here is for the drinks. And I know that's a shock to everybody. I keep going back to the drinks. But I think it would be fun to have a little Belizean bar that could have beers that do import into the United States a little bit, but aren't as well known, like Belican. Belican's one of my favorite beers, actually, and they have a Belican Light and a standard Belican. But man, you get off a cruise ship in Belize, the first thing that you get shoved down your throat is Belican beer. So I really, really like Belican beer. And then obviously there's an assortment of rums that you can get. Belizean rums are very, very good. They have some coffee rums and stuff like that that are excellent as well. But if you've ever had rum straight from Belize, it's excellent. I've got, and if you haven't, come on over. I've got a couple bottles at my house. So, you know, Belize is one of those countries that it's always kind of struck me as family rich, right? And what I mean by that is it feels like when you're in Belize that everybody knows everybody and everybody's family with everybody. Like, it's like, yeah, go around the corner, my cousin is there, right? Or go around the corner, my uncle is there, he'll take care of you, you know? And I think that fits well with Disney as well, just kind of that overall family gathering kind of feel. You know, fun, Belizean people are fun people. I have a blast with every single one of my friends that's from Belize. So, I think that's, it's not super extravagant, but I think it would make for a nice little outpost.
Awesome. That's, you know, that certainly wasn't on my radar. I don't know about you, John.
No, I saw that one doing some research, but I kind of passed it up because, like, I don't know. That's different, but Ryan makes a valid point to it.
So I'll jump in with another one. That I think it's a very beautiful place. And as travel agents, we get inquiries. I get inquiries about it, and had one gentleman go and do kind of a grand tour of it, and gave me an education on helping plan the trip there, because I haven't been, but fascinating. And it's really loved as a destination because it's a beautiful, beautiful place, both culturally, geographically, from an architecture standpoint, again, but immersed in nature too. And that is Thailand. It's really loved. Anyone who goes there just has this wonderful experience about it. You certainly get the hustle and bustle of the cities at night. But if you're along the coast anywhere, it's a lot more quaint and charming. But you've got these beautiful pagodas they build all over the places. Beautiful waters, white sand beaches, rainforests, and it's really is, like I said, geographically a beautiful, beautiful place. And then once you get into the culture, you could really do some wonderful things architecturally as that pavilion. I see it sort of standing out as unique along the World Showcase lagoon. And then there is, you know, who doesn't like, you know, some good Pad Thai and some of those, you know, the influences of their drinks, which, you know, get corrupted when they come over here. But there are all kinds of wonderful drinks. There is the Sabi Sabi, which is kind of like a sweet and sour cocktail. Very refreshing out there. There's spicy drinks they have, like chai palomas and all those drinks. They do few infused drinks, like their basil cucumber type drinks. So there's all kinds of creative things from a cocktail standpoint. That's good, and I think with that complements their spicy food. I think food would be an attraction there. I think people would, you know, gravitate to it because it would be comparison to see if it's as good or better than their local favorite place to go. And I think the chefs at Disney World and Epcot could make it superior as an experience, like the effort they put into recently expanding Japan's menu. So I think creatively, there's a lot of good things to do with food and drink there. And just beautiful. I see them having a museum there, similar to the way they do Morocco, with some of their, you know, so maybe a rotating exhibit of some of their treasures, if you will, of Thailand, sculptures, artwork. And I think that would be a, you know, sort of a calming influence the way Japan and China is. And you need those sort of subdued breaks as you make your way around World Showcase. So we could put this in between some of the rowdier places that the three of us just suggested and get a pause in the action, but not a pause in the cocktails.
What I know of Thailand comes from Street Fighter, the video game. I don't think that's appropriate here, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't figure out what IP we could tie in there, but there's got to be something. We got nothing.
Thailand has a Disney Village opening in March 2024.
What?
According to Time Out, so far, Thailand's first Disney Village at Asiatique is opening in March of 2024. Disney will come to Bangkok in celebration of its centennial anniversary. The Crystal Grill House is a steakhouse in this Siam Tea Room. But what's really generating excitement is the Disney 100 Village, Thailand's very first Disney-backed destination.
Hmm.
You notice an attraction, and it'll feel like a mini Disney-themed playground, complete with a lifestyle and shopping zone, exhibitions, fun spaces, and photo spots.
Hey.
Oh, it's it does not look like it's permanent.
No, I think it's temporary, right?
Yeah.
For the 100 is kind of their 100 year. Okay.
Yeah, it's only open from March 24th of March to 31st of July.
So there you have it, folks. Six more countries to add to World Showcase Lagoon. Far more than we have land to put them in. So maybe you'll jump on this week's episode and give us some feedback on social media on what countries would you put?
Please do. Please do give us feedback, because I know someone out there is listening to this podcast and they're going to text message me or instant message me or DM me or Carl or John. Be like, how could you guys forget this, right? Put it out there into the ether. Let everybody see it. Let's have an open conversation and let's see if what you think what really does belong in the World Showcase.
And until you do, later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Please check us out on social media. On Facebook at Dudes Dish Disney. On Instagram at Dudes Dish Disney. On Twitter at Disney_Dish. Please visit our sponsor, Magic Vacations, at magicvacations.net. More than just a travel agency, Magic Vacations has over 60 Magic Vacation planners committed to bringing you white glove concierge service. Using a Magic Vacation planner allows you to spend more time making memories and less time worrying about the details. For all of your Disney, Universal, cruise, and global travel, go to magicvacations.net. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel.